Go inside the studio with the Ricky Harris Media Podcast. Here's your host, Ricky Harris.
Thanks, everybody, for sticking around. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. That's kind of an obsolete terminology now, tuning in, but I like how it's still being used. It's like you don't dial a phone anymore, but yeah. I guess if someone does give you their number just in numeric form, not just, you know, sharing your contact, you might dial it in. Okay. It's still a little bit obsolete, right? But you say it, and you know exactly what you're talking about. So it is still not obsolete because of that. That's kind of the low-hanging fruit, the basis of engineering, right? What the hell do I call all this stuff? You get past that, you're like 90% there. Thanks, everybody, for sticking around. Those of you that are interested in all the kind of the nuts and bolts of how everything works as far as production goes, being on the inside of production, I think those people are really, really fascinated by this part. What goes into making all this happen, not just on the technical side, it's kind of what I specialize in on this show, because that's where a bulk of my expertise is, you know, kind of getting you started on the technical side, because, and also that's my passion, because I don't like when the technical side is a hurdle. I don't like anything standing in the way of a performer performing in the technical side, even to this day where technology has really gotten a lot more user-friendly and a lot more affordable. Still, it still is a hurdle. But it doesn't have to be. Just a little bit of practice with using the equipment and knowing how to connect your equipment. And the great thing about this, which I love, is there's a lot of ways to go about it. And I'm really interested in recording music. I'm kind of, as you heard on the intro, I kind of know the basics with playing with guitar chords and bass and playing drum beats and all that. But recording has just always been fascinating to me since I was a kid. Apparently, this is a practice with recording a bass drum. You use a speaker. I actually used a clock radio speaker out of a clock radio I took apart a long time ago, and then connected this into a little Radio Shack mixing board that I had using the phono inputs, because little did I know back then, the phono inputs actually increased the bass to overcome the lack of bass from a phono record. A record is not recorded with a lot of bass, because if it was, it would cause so much amplitude, the needle would actually bounce between the different grooves, and it would cause it to skip like crazy. So I used a speaker as a microphone connected into that input, and it sounded really good. And apparently that is the thing, is using speakers connected across, which normally your red and black wires, your two current carrying conductors for audio, which are they call them cold and hot. It's basically normal polarity and then 180 degree polarity. You hook your speaker across those two poles, and then you've got your microphone. Not a very high fidelity microphone, but when you're recording a bass drum, that kind of benefits you, because you don't want to record all those other frequencies. You just want that kick, that, you know, that hitch in the chest, that bass that we all like so much, right? So, went off on a tangent there. So, listening to recording podcasts, I listened to one show that's really fascinating. It's Produce Like a Pro. Check that podcast out if you're interested. Even if you don't record music or really have no plans on recording music, it's really fascinating if you're interested in how all this stuff you know, ends up on your device and it's sounding as good as it does. So two producers took completely two different approaches on mixing the same song, right? They were both given the same content on multi-tracks, so multiple instruments on multiple audio files. Put them all together and then mixed them in their own way. So one producer, mixing engineer, did it all on the analog realm for the most part. Kind of set everything, compressed it, equalized it, manipulated the audio all in just, you know, racks of gear. The other producer did it, as they call it, in the box with the actual digital audio workstation. Did all of it in there. And then, you know, me kind of still kind of a newbie in mixing music, listening to it with headphones on, you know, just really, you know, cranking it up, really listening to it. You really can't tell a difference. And it's like, wow, that's really cool. So that's the beauty of it. So when you're, if you're wanting to do podcasting, if you want to do voice acting, or yes, you want to do both, or you want to do narration for audiobooks, narration for television shows, commercials, whatever, you can go about it several ways, which is really cool because, you know, which is the best, having all this analog gear or having it all digital? Well, it's kind of like Ford or Chevy, BMW, Mercedes. It really comes down to personal preference, really. It really does. I mean, yeah, you can run all the stats and all that. I mean, you can beat this to death putting all this together, but really, what really is the biggest thing that benefits you as the performer, the artist, what's easiest for you to work through to make the equipment kind of disappear? Because you don't want this really, especially when you're starting out. I say starting out, you might want to go with a really simplistic standpoint as far as having everything in the box, in the computer. So basically the only thing external is the microphone, really, and a wire. Because that does something for you psychologically. When you don't see all the gear, it doesn't intimidate you. It's like, I don't know, you're walking along on the street and then someone from the local TV station or radio station comes up and interviews you and sticks a microphone in your face. It's really that same kind of anxiety. It's like, whoa, you know, you're kind of caught off guard. You don't want to be caught off guard. That's one thing that I've learned about acting is you just want it to come naturally. And then when it comes naturally, you're delivering the lines, you're delivering the performance, it'll come off as you looking natural. Wow, what a concept, right? It's wild. It's really that simple. Now, in practice, doing that, of course, easier said than done. It takes a lot of practice, and it really takes a lifelong commitment if you really want to be successful in this. Another great thing about engineering that, you know, the basics of engineering, there's a lot of different ways to come across, to come at the same result, to give you the same result. And there's a lot of low-hanging fruits, and a lot of times there's a lot of, said that wrong, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit out there. And I tell you, what I've learned for voice acting, podcasting, is get your room set up. It doesn't have to be elaborate. Actually, what I have now, and I've been doing this for going on about a year now, doing professional work, I have three mic stands, and I've got comforters and blankets draped across them. So I've got the mic stand set up in a T, so you take your angled bar, I don't know what they call it, you know, the bar where you actually connect your mic clip to, that bar that slides in and out. Take that, position it where it's equidistant on your boom from the floor. Get that and set it up. Basically, you're making a T out of your mic stand, and then drape some comforters. Ideally, comforters. You want something really thick, something really good and thick on there. Drape that on there, and then kind of surround yourself with that. And now you've got a gobo fort, a little studio around you. And that does worlds. Worlds. That does wonders. And it sounds so good. Because if you have a room like I do, if you listen to some of my earlier work when we were doing a lot of podcasts and stuff for fun, you know, just having fun talking about cars and talking about random stuff, being silly. You'll hear this resonance the room had, and it was not pleasing. Some rooms have a resonance, a little echo, and it's pleasing, especially if it's really short. This one was not short, and it was very bassy, and it just sounds hollow, and it sounds like you were doing your show, and I don't know. Like you were doing it inside of a bus, I guess. I don't know. It just didn't sound good. You were doing it in the subway as the trains were going by. It was not good. Mic stands are real cheap. I would go to Musician's Friend or Sweetwater, get you some mic stands, get you about four, put them around you, and then just make your little fort. And that's the way to do it ergonomically. Now, in a pinch, you could do it anywhere, like at the hotel. Let's say you're on a business trip and then you're kind of done for the day and then you're just back at the hotel. You know, you don't have your friends around you. It's like, man, I need to pass some time. Record something. Bring your little portable recorder, your little microphone, and then you get up under the covers and put the covers over your head. And then, you know, everything, the cover, more stuff you can get in there, the better. You put some pillows behind you. And you'll be amazed at how good that will sound. Now, that is not ergonomic. That is not long-term, especially if it's a hot summer day. That's going to start getting hot. And then you've got, you know, your script, you know, like 6 inches away from you. It's just like right there in your face. It's not the best way to do it, but it will work. And you'll be amazed at how dead that sound is. And that's really what you're trying to achieve when you're doing vocal work, is you want it to be dead. Because for the most part, room reverberations are not flattering to your voice or singing, really. Unless you're in a really good sounding room. And there's not a whole lot of them out there. They really have to be designed from the ground up to be a good sounding room. So definitely try that out. You'll be amazed. You'll look goofy. You know, you'll feel silly doing it, but when you play it back, you're like, wow, that sounds really good. I'll have to do that on the next show. I'll record myself in the bed. And what I like to use, I have a little pencil condenser, not just because it's sound, not just because of its compact size. It is a very small mic. I'd say it's probably 5 inches long and about a 3/4 inch in diameter. It's like a shotgun mic that you took a fourth of it. It's like a quarter stick of shotgun mic. It's a quarter shotgun mic. And if you put that under the covers, it does sound good too. It has a really good sound. And then that just the covers around you, everything being so close too. That's one thing that really helps you with soundproofing, is ideally you really want it pretty close to you, because you want your voice to not carry any further than it has to, because the more it carries, the more places it will carry, the more surfaces it has a chance to bounce off of and cause all kinds of havoc in your sound. And do that, and then check out the next show of me recording that, and just let me know what it sounds like. Hit me up on Twitter, Ricky Radio, RICKY Radio. But definitely try that out. I teased the last show, the best job ever. I did have the best job ever. I was an extra background actor on the new series. It's been out since 2020, but the new season of Terror Lake Drive, TERROR, Lake Drive, Terror Lake Drive. Check that show out. So, you'll see me in the background on that. That was a blast. And we shot it at the beaches, quote beaches, it's the lake beaches, up in, northwestern Atlanta. And that was awesome. So yeah, just show up and we're going to pay you to just hang out on the beach. And that's really what it was. That was awesome. And that's the second time I've been on a TV set now. And It's really interesting now, being out of television for a little while, going back to school and then kind of learning all this technical side and, you know, doing my day job, which is a lot of technical engineering type work, quality work. And it really helped me out on the technical side of this. So I took a break from all that, and then getting back into television and seeing what they're doing is really, really fascinating. Everything's shot like a movie now, which is great because the results you get on the screen. I've watched some of these shows. I've watched Terror Lake Drive, and I can see your voice, and it looks great. It's gorgeous. And they have a lot of cameras anyway. Especially, I could see your voice. I think it was like 10 cameras. But when you shoot something like a movie, it gives you the option to kind of make a camera disappear. You know, you can do several takes and get the angles you want. And it just looks gorgeous. And, it gives you the chance to retake it. You know, you're not shooting it like it's a newscast, like it's a live newscast. You know, it's just... Here's what it is. You know, we're going to shoot everything linearly, and we're just going to spit it all out. The show is 42 minutes, and it's going to take 42 minutes to record it. Well, what comes out the other end is just how it's going to be. I mean, it's really cool to see this kind of clips, you know, a bunch of takes all put together. It really makes for a beautiful-looking show, a beautiful-sounding show. You just get everything perfect. You can get everything exactly like you want it. So check that out, Terror Lake Drive, T-E-R-R-O-R, Lake Drive. It's available on Amazon Prime. Check that out. And I invite you to do that, too. That's one thing I've learned, too, getting into this, doing it as my little side business, is doing acting. Being out there, working with other actors really does help you hone your craft, too. And not only that, it's an absolute blast. So definitely, yeah, they shoot everywhere. You don't have to be in the Atlanta area, Los Angeles, New York. They shoot these everywhere. So check it out. And if you want to just go into it, no pressure, and just kind of see what it's like to be on a set, because it really is different. It's a lot different than you would have think. You know, you try to piece it all together in your head by watching a television show, and you go see it in person, you're like, wow, that's completely different than I thought it was going to be. If you want to do it kind of casually, I would invite you to go to On Camera Audiences. It's a website, on-camera-audiences.com, and sign up, and the tickets are free. If they're shooting nearby, go see a show, and you'll see how it's all put together, and you'll kind of become an extra anyway just by being there. You know, they love having audience reactions, natural reactions, and it's a great way to see if you like it. Check it out, and it's so much fun. You will never have as much fun as you will on a TV set if you like that kind of stuff, which I do. I love it. Thanks, everybody, for checking us out. We'll be back hopefully soon. Hopefully, I'll be able to post these a little more regular. My personal life has been absolutely insane lately. Not an exaggeration. Oh, wow. I'll get into that eventually. Wow. Oh, next week, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how I got into radio, how I got into television, and then, you know, I want to give you guys and gals some tips on, you know, making this work and then not getting discouraged, because it is easy to get discouraged. A little pre-tip, a little bonus tip here. Finish school. Absolutely. Finish school and then get your day job in order. And then, yeah, just make this something that you will always have with you. And if you just go into it, podcasting for fun, you know, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that at all. We need more podcasters out there. Podcasting is such a great medium. So get out there and get up under the covers and record something. Thank you, guys and gals, for tuning in. And you know what I'm talking about by tuning in, right? Thanks for everybody for listening to the Ricky Harris Media Podcast. We'll see you next time.